The line drawn in the sands of Saudi Arabia seems to have eclipsed the lines drawn in cocaine at home. Here at home, President Bush and federal drug czar William Bennett continue to wage an all-out war against drugs. Recently, the president declared what he called a few clear signs of progress in that war. Overall drug use is down and crack has leveled off. Drug-related admissions to emergency rooms are down. The street price of cocaine has gone up, which was interpreted as indicating scarcity. And the number of seizures of smugglers and illicit cargo is down. This last item was interpreted as evidence that the flow of drugs from abroad has been reduced. The president warned, however, that the crisis is far from over. Mr. Bennett described the drug situation as no longer getting worse and in some respects is now getting better, not victory, but success. Well, the president and the czar announced their success on the first anniversary of the drug war. A year ago, President Bush made a dramatic impression on viewers when he used real crack cocaine on television to emphasize his declaration of war. The press devoted a great deal of attention to the president's bag of cocaine and seemed to forget that the U.S. government has been fighting a succession of wars against drugs since the early part of this century. The last 50 years of these wars against drugs have seen both military escalation and increased consumption of a wider variety of drugs. Now there is talk of even greater escalation. Later in the day, shortly after the president assessed his first year at war, Los Angeles Police Chief Daryl Gates spoke at a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing. Chief Gates proposed that casual drug users ought to be taken out and shot. That's a quote. The lawmakers asked the police chief to expand on his idea. "We're in a war," Chief Gates said. He said people who blast some pot on a casual basis are guilty of treason. Chief Gates' remarks seem to reflect the increasing militarization of the war on drugs. Marijuana-producing areas in both Hawaii and California were recently invaded by thousands of federal troops. U.S. soldiers were used to search private American citizens and their property. Distraught citizens responded with a class action suit, charging the government with civil liberties violations. Turning the military on American citizens in a war declared by a president is unprecedented, to say the least. But unprecedented or not, the drums of war drone on as caissons of cocaine rumble across American battlefields and the country turns ever inward in search of enemies. And the drug war churns out enemies galore. Drug profits are big enough that they frequently outweigh the risks of drug trafficking. Even some people who don't take drugs themselves trade in drugs because of the money. Otherwise, honest people who once worked in banks or the Coast Guard or various police departments, the Central Intelligence Agency, and even the Drug Enforcement Administration have become enemies because they were caught in the drug trade. If even honest people can't uphold a prohibition, then something must be wrong with the prohibition. A growing number of prominent figures are indeed reconsidering the wisdom of drug prohibition, and many now condemn it. Conservative commentator William F. Buckley, for example, and economist Milton Friedman have condemned the drug war, and they recommend that drug controls be implemented instead. Kurt Schmoke, the mayor of Baltimore, Maryland, himself a former prosecutor of drug crimes, thinks the same way. So does former Secretary of State George Shultz and U.S. District Judge Robert Sweet of New York. All of these voices, and there are many others, condemn the drug war and recommend that federal controls be immediately imposed on all drugs. Recently, the San Francisco Examiner, the flagship of the conservative Hearst newspaper chain, ran an editorial headlined, "Legalize Drugs." "The solution is worse than the problem," they said. "Laws have not stopped and cannot stop drug use." The Examiner called the politician declared drug war a complete defeat for William Bennett and his warriors. They called the policy wrong, period. The editorial went on to say, no amount of laws, no amount of interdiction, no amount of courts, no amount of jails, no amount of anything has reduced the craving for or the use of drugs. The craving for mind-altering substances is as basic to humans as the need for food or sleep or sex. It cannot be legislated away, and armies cannot staunch it. The criminal justice system is grinding to a halt under the crush of drug cases. Prison cells cannot be built fast enough. One-third of all federal prisoners are in jail for drug law violations. The federal drug war next year will cost $10 billion. It is a colossal waste of effort and money and human resources. At a time of pressing social needs, This expenditure is criminal. End of quote. That from a conservative newspaper. The idea that spending money on a war against drugs is criminal is about as opposite a position as one could take from Mr. Bennett and Mr. Bush. It should be remembered that Mr. Bush served as drug czar under Ronald Reagan, a time that saw an exponential growth of the Colombian cocaine cartels, Manuel Noriega, and the invention of crack. Mr. Bush was defeated once in this war, and now Mr. Bennett seems to be failing for the same reasons. Mr. Bush may claim clear signs of progress in his renewed war on drugs, but there are important drug experts who disagree. Dr. Frederick H. Myers, for example, a physician and professor of pharmacology at the University of California, San Francisco, is trying to set the record straight. Dr. Myers points out that Mr. Bush's proclamation of success was made during the summer, a time when illegal drug supplies are always low. The price of cocaine may have gone up, but that could be a reflection of the traditionally depressed summer marketplace, and not necessarily because overall cocaine imports are down. Dr. Myers says the leveling off of crack cocaine use is not due to law enforcement efforts at all. He says he predicted several years ago that crack cocaine consumption would level off because crack is a very rough thing on the system and lacks universal appeal. Drug warriors point to fewer seizures of contraband and fewer arrests of smugglers as evidence that drug imports are down. Official records keep track of the number of arrests and seizures, and they are down. But it doesn't logically follow that fewer arrests and seizures means the amount of drugs coming in is less. Fewer arrests and seizures could mean more smugglers are evading capture. The only way to prove fewer drugs are coming in is if someone kept track of them. But that's the whole point. No one keeps track of goods that are smuggled successfully. How could they? Smuggling, by its very nature, takes place in secret. It's almost as if the drug trade itself had been deregulated and simply handed over to criminals. Once big government got off its back, the drug industry could do anything it pleased, and it continues to do what it pleases to this very day. So what can the country do to rid itself of the drug problem? Well, many now suggest decriminalization and strict government controls. Morphine, for example, has been a decriminalized drug for years and serves as a valuable therapeutic tool for physicians. But there are strict federal controls that regulate morphine production, sale, and use. Government controls keep morphine from being sold in large quantities on the street. There are no government controls on the production, sale, or use of, say, cocaine or heroin. And it's no coincidence that both those drugs are readily available on any street corner. Dr. Frederick Myers, along with six other medical and scientific professionals, sits on the prestigious Research Advisory Panel for the state of California. This group has been advising the governor and legislature of California on dangerous drugs for more than 20 years. The panel's last report mints no words in condemning the war on drugs. The panel suggests, it said, that the legislature act to redirect this state away from the present destructive pathways of drug control. Dr. Myers himself says there is no point to continuing the policies and laws that have so obviously failed to control the individual and societal damage associated with drug use. The panel made three specific suggestions for immediate action. One, permit the possession of syringes and needles. Two, permit the cultivation of marijuana for personal use. And three, as a first step in projecting an attitude of disapproval by all citizens toward all drug use, take a token action in forbidding the sale or consumption of alcohol in state-supported institutions devoted to patient care or educational activity. Well, amazingly, this report was censored by Attorney General John Vandekamp. Richard Engelhardt, Mr. Vandekamp's chief assistant, attacked the validity of the report by saying the panel held no public hearings and took no evidence. Dr. Myers replies that the panel was chosen by the governor and the legislature because of their expertise, and they would hardly be expected to hold public hearings. Dr. Myers said, you wouldn't expect the attorney general to hold public hearings on technical legal issues before him. When asked why law enforcement officials resist the decriminalization of drugs, Dr. Myers said that they were merely protecting cushy positions. With temptations that draw honest agents of law enforcement into lucrative lives of crime or complicity, and opportunities for politicians to make cheap political hay, drug control and decriminalization deserve a serious and sober reassessment. Without decriminalization and control, we are guaranteed a prolonged and escalating drug war that risks obliterating the word justice from the criminal justice system. Without justice, the whole nation falls prey to a pernicious criminal system. And that has to change. This is Hugh Downs, ABC News, New York.